Welcome to the new sound of Rockland. RocklandWorldRadio.com. Exciting online TV and radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Welcome to the new sound of Rockland. RocklandWorldRadio.com. Exciting online TV and radio. Watch and listen to what you've been missing. Broadcasting independent music, art, and culture. From the world of pop to poetry, classical to cutting edge. Movies, comedy, jazz, jams, rock and roll, baby, interviews, information, and event listings. Join the revolution. It's not just radio, it's Rockland World Radio. RocklandWorldRadio.com.
Lively discussion about a variety of everyday topics from the viewpoint of spirituality and metaphysics. This is New Perspectives.
Good evening, and welcome to another show of New Perspectives Radio. We're very fortunate tonight to have as our guest Junie Thomases. The title of tonight's show is Use Tarot's Wisdom to Make Better Choices. And I want to say something right at the beginning is that I have always wanted to do a show on the tarot. Always. So I'm very happy that we are getting to do it tonight with Junie, who is a true master. Let me introduce Junie. Junie Thomases is an author, a psychic, an astrologer, a channeler, and a spiritual consultant. That kind of covers it, doesn't it?
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
So, Junie, the tarot, I would just like to start with a little bit of foundation. But first of all, to say hi. Hi, Junie.
Hi, Paul. It's great to be on the show again.
Yep. Junie was a founding member of this show. What is the tarot?
Well, the tarot is a deck of cards, 78 cards. It has two components in it. There are the minor cards, which have to do with everyday life, and they are broken down into four suits, which really are similar, in essence, to playing cards. And then there are 22 cards considered the majors, major arcana or keys. And these are a representative of archetypes that show a spiritual inner path. So part of the deck shows our daily life, and part of the deck shows a kind of a universal progress through different stages or archetypes. The tarot is considered a book, because it combines a lot of spiritual disciplines, including Kabbalah, numerology, astrology, colors, and they're all combined in a certain way into almost pages of a book of knowledge. It was understood that when it was put together or evolved over the years, it was like a visual language for people who might not speak the same verbal language. So they could look at these pictures. Anyone, universally, any human being can look at pictures and get meanings from them. So it was considered like a book of knowledge, these 78 cards. And I would also point out that one of the meanings of tarot is called the Royal Road, because it's a, it's like a path to enlightenment. Any other philosophy that shows stages that move you towards higher and higher awareness would be represented by these, especially the 22 special cards of the tarot.
So there's 72 cards in the deck?
There are 78 cards.
78 cards in the deck. And can you just tell us where it comes from, if that's possible?
Yeah.
And how long it's been around?
Some of the deck, the majors, were probably more ancient, such as archetypes going back to ancient Egypt or Greco-Roman. The miners, the suits, look medieval. And they first started to appear in European courts. It's said that they were brought over by gypsies who considered themselves to be, they called themselves Egyptians. I guess that's where the word gypsy comes from. And at first, tarot was used partly as a card game, tarocchio, and also partially divination, fortune telling, and maybe, got a bad rep that way. But it eventually evolved. I was reading some of the history, and it wasn't always all of the minor suits and ace to ten, and then there are four court cards in the playing deck that we use. There's three court cards, Jack, Queen, King, but in tarot, there's Page, Knight, Queen, King. And these stand for different people, yourself or people in your life, these four different court cards. So it evolved. And then at some point in France, people started to come forward that took more of an interest in the deck, and they utilized it differently. And I think in the 1800s, there were some metaphysicians who started to research and apply ancient knowledge back into the meanings of the deck, especially the 22 special cards. And in today's world, we have the Rider-Waite deck, which I recommend for beginners because it has most of the images and symbols in it. We have a special type of deck put out by an organization in California called Builders of the Adytum, BOTA, and that contains all the Hermetic Mystery School teachings in the symbols. And then we have many, many artistic people who come up with their own designs for tarot decks, not all of which I think are, say, accurate to the intrinsic meanings of each of the cards, but they're pretty.
You just said some of them have a Hermetic meaning.
Yes. The Hermetic Mystery School teachings are the foundation of Western mysticism and occult knowledge. Hermes Trismegistus is the so-called father of Western mystery consciousness, and that goes really way back. I think that foundation goes to maybe ancient Egypt. So it's a body of knowledge.
So that's in all tarot decks. I mean, that's the point, right?
Yes, the point is that it contains the royal road. It contains a path. When I first learned it, something really interesting, Paul. My teacher, who is gone now, Ann Levinson, she told us that if you work with tarot, eventually, it can change you on the cellular level. It can change your blood. And I said, what? What does, you know, that didn't mean anything to me back then. Mm-hmm. But it changes, it keeps shifting you in a certain direction, like a guidance system, like a navigation device. And we want to keep getting better readings, not negative readings. You want your future to look positive and reflect that you're in a good place, which will happen. So you start almost unconsciously modifying your mindset and your choices. And that takes you into it. It's a shift. It's a shift in your reactions. It's a shift in your mentality. It's a shift in your emotional state very often. And I could say this also, that it's not set in stone. If it's not to your liking, you can't change destiny because you don't desire what you're hearing. But you can change if you start changing within.
Judy, may I interrupt you for a second? You said
you said
you cannot change destiny.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there are certain things that are pre-chosen. You will be required to walk through certain lessons in your life. These can be seen, you know, in your horoscope. These may be key points in your journey where circumstances will bring you to, you know, an important choice or a key turning point. But you can mitigate what happens to you during these episodes. You can work with your destiny or fate, or your karma, whatever you want to call it. You can work with that within your mind and soften what is going to happen, what is necessary to happen at a certain stage in your life. These are the kind of things that you have control over. So when I do tarot readings for them,
Richard?
Finality. It's always that if you keep going in the direction you're going, this is where you're going to end up. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can. There's a little technical interruption going on.
But it's gone now.
I don't know where the... I think I might have missed a little bit of that.
So I was saying that you can, if you're going in a certain direction with a certain attitude, a certain way of interacting with people, then you are going to end up as the reading might be showing. But if you don't like where it's going, you can soften it. You can change it. You can alter your fate by changing your mindset, your attitude, your understanding. So tarot becomes a tool to accelerate, to push you towards greater understanding and more personal control in the form of empowerment.
Absolutely.
I could give you an example. Person had a reading fairly recently, and one of the major cards came up. It's called the Tower. And it often means drastic change. And that person found that they lost their job. But that could be devastating, or it could be a push away from something that was very unpleasant, a situation that was unpleasant, towards newness, towards new potential. So it could be liberating. And depending on how you want to look at what's happening to you, which you can call fate, a lot can change in the way that you choose to think about it or handle it or go about your business for the next stage of your journey. A lot of times, readings will show people in a transition state, you know, and they have to make choices. That's why people come and get readings a lot, because they're unsure.
Richard,
what's going next? Are we having technical problems?
We're having some technical. It keeps stopping and starting.
I don't see any technical problems on my end. I don't know if you can hear me.
Okay, now I can clearly.
Okay, good, good. So I was talking about a lot of times people come for a reading when they need to make a big decision and they're unsure of what's the best thing to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the name of the program tonight is Using Tarot's Wisdom to Make Better Choices. Okay.
And how do the people respond? Obviously, everybody responds differently, but you're able to help guide them to the shift that you're referring to have a different, change their energy, in essence.
Exactly, yeah. I like that word. I like that word. You can be very distraught over things that are happening to you, or you can see them in a different way and be more serene about them. You can go with the flow. You can see that maybe a relationship needs to change or end, and that could be a drastic thing, unpleasant. It could be pleasant. It could be something that you know inside of you it needs to happen. I mean, that's just an example. What I think of with tarot is I think of it as a navigation tool. It really helps us through life. It helps us make wise choices. And how does it do that? Well, the part of the deck that has to do with the four suits and daily life, one of the suits, the suit of swords, represents worries and problems. And if you're seeing a lot of that in a person's reading, they may be in a negative mind space. They may be aggravated at somebody. They may be worried a lot about their circumstances. They may be in a place where it's not all bright and happy. Of course, nobody wants to be in that place. Nobody wants to stay there. So the tarot will then present it in a very visible, apparent way, and the person can see, okay, well, I need to work on this or that. Even if I'm unhappy in my circumstances, if I dwell in the negative thoughts, that's going to be troublesome. So I don't want, how can I get my cards to look better? change the circumstances I'm in so that my attitude improves or I tackle them differently? And then you'll see that the same person won't get as many swords in their readings. Or there's other cards besides swords that can have uncomfortable meanings. So how do you get less of those and more of the ones that represent wisdom, joy, empowerment, a brighter choice, a better direction? Yeah, you can do this. You can work. It's like tarot reflects the moment. It reflects who you are, what you're thinking. It reflects the pickle that you're in, the predicament. And then you can very deliberately work with this. There's good stuff about tarot too. For instance, a person who has really done a lot of meditation, they feel that their values are changing. Maybe they don't really feel comfortable with the old gang that they used to hang out with. They are maybe going through a stage of more withdrawal, more inner work, more contentment with solitude. Well, they'll get the Hermit card coming up a lot. And the Hermit card doesn't mean somebody who goes off and sits in a cave. The Hermit card means, okay, this person is going through a really good inner transition where they're moving more towards being able to help others and less kind of needy or stuck in old situations or connected to people that are no longer helpful to them. So we can see the positives in the readings, too.
So the cards are obviously reflecting the vibration of the person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you said that to me when we spoke earlier, that you can see that. If you some people that are more at whatever moment more positive, the cards reflect that, and the reverse. So how does that, how is that possible? That's the mystery, right?
Yeah. How is it possible that the cards can do this?
Yes.
Well, everything is contained in the now, in the moment of time space that we're in at present. And if everything is there, then any throw of the cards, any pick of the cards, any layout will also reflect that moment. And we could look at it as though all the universe is a hologram and each particulate of it has the all in it. The tarot is known as an oracle. And an oracle can be cards. It can be rune stones. It can be chicken bones. It can be tea leaves. Anything that gives a readout of the moment goes by the name of oracle.
So, particularly chicken bones, right?
Chicken bones, shells, intestines. Primitive societies have always mm-hmm. done this. Only we have a much more formalized, mm-hmm. More structured, more complete body of knowledge, which we call tarot cards. And it gives a readout of the moment. So the person's past, present, and future is contained in the moment. And the circumstances of their world is contained in the moment. And the tarot is a device, a readout.
Remarkable.
The issue comes up as to the ability of the reader interpret it.
Yes.
And if a person hasn't attained a certain level of their own awareness, they're going to use this device, but they're not going to see in it quite the same as somebody who's done a lot of their own inner journey, inner work.
And that's not a question of time. Some people could do that. Obviously, there's got to be a lot of time involved, but some people could do it for a long time and not quite achieve that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. The more that you work with tarot, it will start to direct you and guide you. If you do your own cards. People ask me this all the time, should I read for myself? And that's a little tricky because the tarot has some scary imagery in it. It's got a guy laying on the ground with 10 swords in his back. It's got death. It's got a tower with people falling out of it. So if you read these cards without an understanding, death usually means rebirth. The tower usually means drastic change. The guy on the ground with the swords in his back usually means ruin of plans. You can freak yourself out.
What does the guy mean?
Guy on the ground with the 10 swords in his back is ruin of your plans.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that somebody has killed you in a battle and you're laying on the field with a bunch of spears in your back. It's not that. It's symbolic. Maybe if you were in medieval times and were going to participate in a sword fight and had that card, yeah, maybe then it would mean really that you're going to be laying on the ground with swords in your back. But at this point, there are symbolic meanings. So if you were to read your own cards and get imagery that was bothersome, that might send you running away from tarot. On the other hand, if you can understand the nature of these symbols, you could continue to read your own cards and actually begin to move in a direction. I'm gonna I'm going to hold up the guy with the swords. You can see him now, right?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. So if you get that, and if you're doing your own reading and you see something like that, if there's not enough understanding, you might get freaked out. You might feel, oh my God, what's going to happen? But if you were a kind of, you know, experienced, seasoned reader, you might not be seeing it that way at all. You might be saying, well, you know, I'm moving in a direction that my great American novel is probably going to crash and burn the way it is right now, so I better rewrite it. I better not go the way I thought I was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to use it differently. I hope I made that clear.
I like that. Rewrite it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, may I ask you how many years you've been doing the tarot?
Yeah, it's been 40 years.
40 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of reading.
A lot of reading.
A lot of reading for yourself and others.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And how did you initially get interested in it and why?
My story is that I actually had a party at my home. This was in the 70s, and I was living in New York, and I wanted some entertainment for the party. So I looked in the section in the back of New York Magazine that was advertising people who did various things for parties, and there was one who was a palm reader. So I contacted her, and I booked her. But when she came to my house, a lovely young woman, she asked me tentatively, while holding this deck of cards in her hand, wrapped in some kind of cloth, and she said, I do read palms, but would you mind if I read cards instead? I prefer the cards. So I didn't have an objection because I didn't know anything about anything. I probably had never even seen a deck of tarot cards.
Wow.
Then. And she proceeded to sit in the living room and do these little mini readings with people. And when she did a reading for me, I was very curious, and I remember memorizing the cards that she laid out. Again, not knowing anything about anything. I think I remembered some of the things that she told me, but mostly I remembered which cards and how they faced. And after that, I just had to research. I had to learn. I had to buy books and read and find out what is this mystical, magical thing, you know? And then as fate would have it, I started to become friendly with people in the New York and New Jersey area and in Manhattan. And back then, I think tarot was less accepted than now. And so these people whom I befriended would teach all the mystery concepts and homes. And we would go to this one's finished basement and that one's Fifth Avenue apartment and this one's living room. And I got a very good background in it. I really was given, it was a blessing. So I made friends with these people, but I also learned a great deal. And the teachings were really very profound. And they weren't kind of like storefront psychic things. These were mystical Kabbalah, numerology. There's something called gematria. Or maybe it's pronounced gematria. It's like the science of how words add up to numerical value. I learned I have notebooks full of this stuff. And I went regularly as though I would be a student in college to get this background.
It's wonderful. Wonderful to discover something so special and magical for you. for anyone.
And well, it certainly started me on a journey. It certainly was very instrumental between learning tarot and then learning astrology in a similar way, side by side. That just totally expanded my mind, just opened up doors. And the interesting thing, Paul, was that I felt like I was remembering this stuff, not learning it for the first time.
Okay.
And I have a friend who, young woman in her 20s, when I met her, and it was fairly recently, so there's a huge age gap between us, but we didn't feel the age, we felt a soul connection. And I began, she knew tarot when I met her, but I taught her astrology, and I never saw anybody learn something so fast, because she also was a kind of seasoned mystic who could pick this stuff up very easily. So that was interesting to see, okay, there are people who can just kind of remember this from past lives or whatever.
Uh-huh. Can you see that in the deck?
Can you see past lives in your tarot card reading?
You can do it in astrology,
sometimes.
Right? In astrology, sometimes. You can?
Yeah, more so in astrology, because we have in Western astrology, you have the north and south node of the moon, and the south node does represent what has gone before and what you have accomplished or spent time dealing with in a past life.
What about future lives?
Well, that's your north node. That's the path you're on, your true way, what you're trying to accomplish this time around. You know, we're all eventually headed for Buddhahood. We're all going to get there. How many lives we need, that's the question of each person's rate of understanding. But how much can you accomplish in one life? Yeah, a combination of looking at your tarot and your horoscope, I think, gives insight into what your potential is.
That's very interesting. I haven't heard that before. I like that. So you utilize them together when you're helping a client.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the client, if they're in a kind of aware state, you know, they're not a newbie, they can take this understanding, you know, of where they're going and what their choices are, and they can make some really good decisions with this. You can have a family crisis, and it's very near to you. It cuts deep, and it's very crucial, and you can either lose sleep, get ill over the circumstances, really agitate, or kind of see a different perspective. See the things that are happening as the karmic unfoldment. See the choices that you can make, how you can react to the person in your life, how you can handle the crisis from your own standpoint. You can be shown through a reading, you can be shown this, and then your attitude, the way you handle the crisis, the way you handle the other person, this is all how strong you can be during it. I don't mean strong like your feelings are repressed and you're holding it all in. I mean strong in the sense that you accept and you flow with it, and you keep a certain understanding, and you let things happen. If you can't effectively control what's happening to your loved one, you have to just be more zen about it, and you will get these answers in your readings. You'll get these directions, how to play it, how to play the your part in the circumstance.
That's seems like something that could be very helpful.
Yeah. Let me explain a little bit about the four suits, okay? So for people who aren't familiar with it, I would say that there are four aces, and of the suits, you have cups, which is emotions. You have wands, which is energy or dynamic action. You have swords. Swords are thoughts, and sometimes thoughts are what brings our troubles. And then you have pentacles, which is material things, money or things that you can actually tangibly own or have. And of those four suits, there's so many different combinations in a reading. So if you do a layout where there's a lot of one suits showing up, you'll know that that's the important thing on that person's mind at the time. You know, if there's a lot of cups showing up, they may be involved in relationship issues. If there's a lot of pentacles showing up, then we're talking about career, job, income, money matters for the most part. And then you'll get a feel when these cards are on the table. You'll get a feel for, like, what is the critical issue here? Sometimes they'll tell you something about it, but a lot of times you just have to figure things out. Then a reading can have a bunch of other people showing up. Court cards. If there's queens, then it's females. If there's kings, then it's an older male. That could be an advisor, it could be a father figure, it could be a spouse. If there's younger cards, it could be kids. And if these show up frequently, because there's different layouts, you could work with a person and do a three-card spread, you could pick a single card, you could do a Celtic layout, a Celtic cross. So you have these different layouts that will put patterns of cards in front of you. And then who's facing what? Which cards are combining or moving away from each other? You may have numbers showing up, a lot of number three. And you may feel that you have to say something to the other person about what's going to happen in 3 weeks or 3 months. So there's a lot of ways to extract information.
Very interesting. And you are also a psychic, so that you contribute that to whatever you're doing, I'm sure.
I would say that the tarot is really good at helping anyone develop their psychic abilities. We've held meetups for the tarot, and sometimes people come who are absolutely inexperienced. They've never touched a tarot card, but they're curious, you know. So we'll pull cards, and they will go around the table, and the person will look at a card and say, well, I don't know anything about it. I don't know what to say. So we'll say, well, just what are you feeling? Look at the image. What are you seeing? What's coming through for you? And, you know, they'll just kind of like allow their mind to wander, and then they'll say what they feel they're getting from this card. And this is step one to letting your latent psychic abilities come through. When you're really good at it, you might be looking at some imagery, and the imagery will start giving you almost clairaudiently, you will hear specific pieces of information. That's more psychic. That's more specifically psychic. I remember very clearly years ago working with somebody, and a card that I had looked at a million times before, I suddenly saw in a corner of it that there were cherries. And I had never paid any attention to that. But it came through, and I asked the person, and the individual lived on a street with the word cherry in it. So that came through, you know. The cards will help you. I don't know what goes on in the brain when a psychic person is getting things. That would be fascinating if scientists could.
Very, very fascinating.
Track it.
Very fascinating. Do people come to you specifically for one of your services as compared to the other, or?
I have to say yes and no, because when people contact me for a reading, my readings always include everything. I include full astrology, tarot, and this other device called Astrodice, and sometimes channeling. So it could be an hour and a half of work with everything. But there's other people who just want maybe like, oh, could you just do like a quick reading for me? Could you just tell me, like, should I do this or that? Should I, you know, make a certain choice? And then it will only be tarot. And also when I do work at holistic or psychic fairs, I'm mostly working with tarot. Okay. So I think that I can't give you, you know, an answer, one or the other.
Right.
To me, they're all, you know, like if you cook, you need this knife for that, that spoon for this, and this fork for that, you know.
And so, when you channel, what is it you're really doing?
Channeling is different from psychic abilities. It's different from astrology. I'll explain it briefly. Astrology, you are doing math, okay? And then you are using your leaps of faith, leaps of intuition to get some deeper information. So you're doing math plus, you know, it's kind of logic-based, and then you're getting some other input. Tarot is you use the symbols as codes, and then you can go into your psychic mind, which is going to give you information from wherever. And channeling is very different, as far as I'm concerned. Channeling is when you kind of step aside. You have to quiet your thoughts. You have to quiet your emotions. You have to be, in a sense, very empty. And a voice will begin. It's an invited process. And that voice will give an entire message that sometimes can go on for 20 or 30 minutes. The message has its own meaning. It has a beginning, middle, and end. Good grammatically, it's like somebody was dictating information to me. Very different from tarot.
Very different.
Very different.
So you can maneuver into these different aspects of your mind.
Yeah, I didn't know about some of these things. It took, probably 20 some odd years before the channeling ability began.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask for it. I didn't even expect it or know anything about it. So in a way, I kind of fell into a lot of this backwards,
in a very
happened to me instead of me seeking it. Yeah,
in a very natural way, obviously.
Yeah.
Very natural. Do you have a favorite way to, when you teach, do you prefer to teach one of these as compared to the other, or do you teach everything?
Well, I used to. What I have done is put together two CDs, a CD set of a tarot intensive, so that I have about 2 hours worth of talk and all the visuals that went with it on these two discs, which people can contact me for if they're interested in purchasing. Teaching astrology takes a lot longer. It's more complicated. It's probably harder to teach, especially for people who are not a kind of like math comfortable. Astrology is a little bit more, I don't know what's a good word, specific to a certain type of brain. Not everybody can learn that. A tarot, I think, is available to anybody. I don't think that you need any, you know, kind of specialized abilities to learn tarot, because you don't have to be psychic to do it. Not at all.
You don't have to be psychic to do it.
No.
It helps, but you don't have to be.
It helps, and sometimes it might even hinder, you know, because, mm-hmm. like, if the person is getting a piece of information psychically but can't put it into a good context for the client, that might confuse the person,
mm-hmm.
or even disturb them and not be helpful. So the best thing is to learn what the tarot symbols are, to learn the ABCs of tarot. And then, working with it, it will naturally open up your psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't think you have to. I think that's more kind of universal, working with the cards. And I've heard of people who bought a deck, and they bought it because they were attracted to it or curious about it, and then they never touched it. They didn't know what to do with it. They left it on a shelf somewhere or in a drawer, and they never went back to it because they didn't know what to do with it. Because
probably a lot of people that have done that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Which is a shame, because I think that working with it is a tool, an acceleration tool for your spiritual development.
Huh. So one could buy your CDs and buy a deck and just start to play with it for themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We could give some contact info so that they could reach me if they wanted to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are there, as you said, there are many different types of decks. Do you have a preference? Yes. Would you recommend one over the other?
I would. I think that the Rider-Waite deck is the best for the beginners. I think that everybody should start with that, and then if you want to get wild and buy more decks, some people purchase 20 and 30 decks and use the ones they're attracted to. But, you know, it's like learning anything. You should start with your ABCs, kind of remember what the basics mean, and then you can, you know, get more free, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your teachers were very inspiring to you?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. One was, she was in her later years in life. She had studied, I forget who she studied with, gurus and a lot of specific teachers. She had been born into a family, she said, of rabbis, and she felt that they didn't know the real meanings of the Kabbalah, so she studied that. She was very versatile, feisty, and very brilliant woman into her 90s. She was certainly a very strong influence on me, you know. And then I had other teachers, certainly, along the way, teaching me astrology and metaphysics and all kinds of things. Holistic understanding, Eastern philosophy, yes, whatever.
You're constantly smiling as you say these words.
Yes, yes, that's, they make me happy.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, I feel blessed in life that I was able to find this because I didn't seek it. I would not have known where to find such things. I think that everybody can realize that there's a vast possibility for anybody to accomplish things with their particular set of circumstances, that they could go this way or that way with them, that they may be confused, they may be influenced by negative stuff on today's news, they may be overwhelmed with their life circumstances, they may be scared or just not clear, and that this is one of the tools that we have when we're lucky enough to encounter it, that can really clarify things. It can really help. It can really put to rest a lot of confusion. And then once you know what your right action is, what your best path is, you can focus all your attention and energy on that and not be drained, not be distracted, not go off in directions that won't help you. It won't bring you to wisdom and, you know, inner fulfillment. But the tarot can. It's one of those tools that we have.
Very nicely put, Judy. And how many students do you have right now?
I don't have students right now. I give talks. I'm going to be giving a talk at a Cecil College in the fall of this year, based on some of the understandings and concepts in my newest book. I have presentations that we give in the clubhouse at our active adult community. I have done presentations at the local library and at a Reiki studio in town, various holistic things. I don't have any formal classes at this stage in life. I'm so-called retired, you know, but I'm not.
Right.
I probably never will. And I have people who are interested, who are following, and who minds, especially young minds, that are thirsty, and they want something, and they don't know quite where to go to begin to understand their journey. And I feel like I'm here, I'm in the right place at the right time. And I have things that are available that I can offer. A lot of the programs that I'm giving are free. Not all, but some. And I have, you know, the some books. I have my new CD set. And people can find that on my website. Or that's wisdompath.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can email me at judy@wisdompath.com, as long as they spell Judy with an I. And they can contact me by phone. I'm in Delaware now, 302-697-3630. And I can direct them. I can do consultations. I can offer them books or CDs in various ways to, you know, to get some insight.
Can you tell us a little bit about your new book?
Yes. It's called The Wisdom Keys. And it's four steps that were revealed to me through channeling to get to yourself. So this is important to me to explain what I was actually shown, which is to keep moving from one worldview of how you see reality. As you advance, you begin to shift and see things differently. The world changes from being all exterior to you and then becomes part of you. And therefore, you can work co-creating your circumstances by realizing that your thoughts are the instrument for changing your reality. And as you do so, your awareness expands. You go through a stage that's called piercing the veil, takes you into a paranormal reality, which is not limited by time and space. And then you become much more of an expanded awareness. You can access your past lives. You can certainly become aware of yourself as a higher being. And ultimately, you begin to understand that there is only one consciousness that exists, one singularity, and we call it God or Source. And that's actually an aspect of us, that we are the creators of the world through the process of thought. And the more you can feel that you own this and that you understand this, the more you become the creator of your world, of your life. So it's an accelerated tool. It's like a map. It's like a four-step development or path into higher and higher understandings of who we are.
Very well said, Judy. Would you like to say, in closing, would you like to, you know, say something to the audience?
Yes, I think that we're living in a period that is a transition for the human race, that we are being challenged to grow and develop quickly, that we are able to become masters of our own fate and of the fate of the world, the more that we tap into new understanding and also develop our personal selves so that we're not kind of overwhelmed by these great energy patterns that are afoot right now. And I think that anything that people can do that helps themselves become empowered and more aware, more conscious, more expanded, I think they should grab it. I think they should latch onto it. It's a buoy, a life jacket in a turbulent sea. And instead of discarding it or feeling it's frivolous, I think that this is an answer, a way through.
Well, thank you very much for coming on tonight with us, Judy.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. This was great. Hope everybody enjoyed.
Yeah, tremendously. I certainly did. Thank you. Good night from New Perspectives Radio at Rockland World Radio. Thanks very much. My name is Paul Lamb.
To spark lively discussion about a variety of everyday topics from the viewpoints of spirituality and metaphysics, this is New Perspectives.